Thank you, choir. Well, a little different setup. I can see some of you didn't miss the train. That's all right. We're going to all be on board here in a little bit. Glad to have some visitors with us today. Welcome to Anchor Baptist Church. We're going to give the choir a chance to come down because they don't have any seats to sit in today. And so while they come down, let's all stand and let's greet each other. Have a little time of fellowship this morning.
right. Thank you so much, choir, for the good singing this morning. And as you can see, things are a little different than usual. And we've had our weekend Bible school this weekend. And man, what a great time we had. I tell you, it was two good days, really nice days. I think we had 20 children all together, I think, the most we had on either day. But several things that just stood out in this Bible school. Number one, this was planned sort of late. But the folks, the ladies really, and many of the men all got together and put this thing together. And I'm telling you, it turned out to be a great joy. And the reason is not because of what you see, although this is all you know, done by hand. Brother John Gardner provided all the cardboard from his job, him and Chad, and so they were able to do this. It's all done that way. But the greatest thing of all in Bible school, and I said this last week, if one child gets touched, it's worth doing. Well, I'm glad to report we had two, and they're brother and sister. And where are they? Where did they get to? There they are. Stand up there, Caleb and Madison. This is Susan. Yeah. This is Susan and Kenny's grandchildren. And Caleb is 10 and Madison is 8. And they're brother and sister. Caleb got saved Wednesday night. He actually asked the Lord to come into his heart at the end of the service. Now, he didn't come forward. I didn't know about it until yesterday. And he came to me and he wanted to kind of get it sure. So I showed him some scripture and I asked him what he did. He said, I prayed and asked Jesus to forgive me of my sins and save me. So I said, sounds like you did the right thing. Sounds good to me. And then yesterday during the service time, Madison came and raised her hand and wanted to get saved. And I think, where's Brent? Did Brenda Coker, did you deal with her? Do the nursery? I think Brenda dealt with her and both of them saved. Now, isn't that wonderful? I tell you, that's worth every penny. And I'll tell you, this thing was done on a shoestring. I'm telling you, God really blessed the folks that did give. Thank you so much. All the folks that worked in Bible school, whether you were teaching or just working, men, if you were here on the property helping yesterday, stand up, will you? All the folks that worked in Bible school, isn't that wonderful? Amen. Let's give them a good hand. I think they deserve that. Yeah. Even Miss Ward. Miss Ward came one day and helped get it all set. She was here all day that day getting it set up. The reason we left it up is twofold. Number one, we wanted you to see what the kids got to enjoy. And number two, this thing is stapled and taped together. And of course, we're having commencement tonight. So we, you know, it would be up tonight anyway. But if we tried to take all this down and then come back to Saturday, it literally took all day to put this together. Literally, the day they put it together. There's no way we could get it all back together in a couple of hours service tonight. So they said, can we just leave it up? I said, sounds good to me. So there you go. Some of you are riding in the train. Some of you sitting outside the train. There you go. If we had the time, we'd play some train noises for you. But, you know, this is still a worship service. And, you know, it's certainly different than what we normally would do. But we want the kids and everyone to know that we do try to do something for the children. We're a small church and we don't have a lot of facility yet. We're working on it. And so, but you got to build before you can build, right? You got to build the church before you can build onto the church. And so I appreciate everybody that came. We had some children come out of the neighborhoods where we put out the flyers last Saturday. So that was a blessing. So, you know, it just went great. I'm telling you, and I never saw a group of people work together better than I did this weekend. I'm telling you, because we had bouncy houses out here that had water slides on it. I'm telling you, those kids enjoyed it. And listen, we got some video. We can't show it today because stuff's but don't worry, it's coming. It's going to take a couple of minutes one night or sometime and let you see. It wasn't just the kids enjoying that slide. You never saw such faces. If you remember how it was when you rode the roller coaster the first time, well, some of these ladies and men. Now, Chad, where's Chad? Chad's here. There's Chad. Now, Chad, he's just like the kids, man. He got off work yesterday. Of course, him and John work in a very hot environment. Old Chad took advantage of that. He started sliding with those kids, and they jumped in there with him like he was their age. And he acted like he was their age. And he even got a couple of them to go down with him. so they wouldn't be afraid to go down the slide. And so after a while, they quit, and he's still going down the slide, just splashing in the water, having a big time. But thank you so much for everyone that took part in. I'm telling you, I've never been prouder of a group of folks than I was this weekend to put this thing together. And it took a lot of work, folks. What you see here took a lot of work. One day they painted, but they had to do it outside in that 104-degree heat, and that was tough. But they got it done, and we had a great time, and I want to say thank you to all who were involved. Real quickly, let me read this Anchor Baptist Church family. Thank you for the beautiful peace, Lily, and your prayers. Brenda, Shelton, Starling, and family. Of course, Brenda's daddy passed away 2 weeks ago, and so they went up to Minnesota for that. They're in Alabama today. They decided to take the boys and take a little time off, and we sure understand that. But I wanted to read that to you real quickly, all right? As far as announcements are concerned, let me mention a couple of things, and then we'll have prayer and a song. We are starting a prayer room on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock for anybody that wants to come, for men especially that want to come. And I hope you'll start. We need to start praying and get, you know, we got so much packed into a little bit of time in the morning, but it's hard to do in the afternoon with choir practice and so on. And so we've chosen to come at 9 o'clock, which is 30 minutes before Sunday school. And I hope that you'll come and join us in prayer, okay? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. And then we'll have Brother Tim come lead us in a song. We'll introduce our guests in just a few minutes. Let's pray. Father, we love you. And what a joy it is to be back in the house of the Lord today on this beautiful Lord's Day. And Lord, everything's different here. It's totally different than what it usually is, but that's all right. Lord, the children enjoyed it. The adults put a lot of time and effort into making Bible school just as enjoyable for the children. And I watched those kids throughout the 2 days and how much they enjoyed the crafts and enjoyed the Bible stories and the singing and the pledges. I mean, all the things that you do in Bible school, things that I remember doing when I was a boy going to Bible schools in Michigan back a long time ago. But I so remember some of those Bible school days. So, Father, I'm glad, and I appreciate so much Sister Inez, who directed the Bible school this year, and all the folks that got involved, whether they just worked behind the scene or out in front, or they put their all into it. The Bible said, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. And so I'm thankful that from it, two precious young people gave their heart and life to Jesus Christ, and that makes it worth everything. So, Father, I pray that you'll bless the service today. May there not be too much distraction for the preaching of the Word of God today. But, Lord, just help us to rejoice and be glad that two sinners were saved by the grace of God. Have your will and way in the remainder of the service, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Brother Tim.
All right, it'll be safe to stand because the train is at a stop. So let's take our hymnals. Number 249, let's stand. Sorry. 249. Well, that gives you a chance to find it. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. I'm sorry, Steve. I may have written it down in a different order for you. All right. Sing out now.
Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget. After I've wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend. He met the need of my heart. Fast dispelling with joy I am telling, he made all the darkness depart. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away, and my mind was turned today. Heaven came down, and glory filled my soul.
Now we're going to sing the third verse, and we're going to put that tag at the end of it to really lift your voice when we get down there. Sing on the third together.
Now I've a hope that will surely endure after the passing of time. I have a future in heaven for sure, there in those mansions sublime. And it's because of that wonderful day when at the cross I believe. Riches eternal and blessings eternal from his precious hand I receive.
Thank you. Be seated.
Amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. And we want to welcome our visitors today. Good to have some folks here with us visiting. Good to have Ms. Cummings and Ms. Young back. They're not visitors anymore. We're just glad to have them here with us today. We're glad to have the Pacheco family, Brother Angel Pacheco and his wife and children, and they're expecting another one. And so we're glad to have you folks. He's in the military. And we're... Can I finish before you do that? All right. Anyway, messed me all up. Now I'm not even sure what I'm saying. Every time he does that, I think about a dog coming after me or something. It just bothers the hound out of me. Last time I got dog bit, that's what I heard before I got bit. So anyway, we're glad to have the Pachecos here with us today. And he's in the military, just got stationed here. And we're glad to have them here with us. And what's your little boy's name? Ethan. They came in the door. Of course, you know, strangers. And little Ethan's what, 2 or 3 years old maybe? Could be 4. And he came in and he saw that train. And he walked in, he walked right over to me, stood right beside me. He said, "This is cool." And then he hugged me. I said, "Well, praise God. If I thought I'd get a hug from little youngins like that, I'd put a train in here all the time." And this is cool. And so we're glad to have the Pacheco family here with us. Where did you all come from, Brother Angel, if I can ask you? I've been all over. Is that right? Okay, so just the military thing, huh? Yeah, okay. Joaquin, what did you turn around for? Oh, I know, but you're from the Bronx. Amen. Uh-oh, you got help now, buddy. All right. All right. Well, again, we're just so glad to have these folks. And, of course, Miss Ward is not a visitor anymore. She came one day and helped all day long, helped to get this all together. Brother Singla, Brother Todd and his wife, and Brother Singla and his family. We're just tickled to have all of you here with us today. Let me mention a couple of prayer requests and real quickly. Brother Steve Morris has his surgery coming up this coming week on, I believe it's Thursday. And so please pray for him. He's got that cancer surgery coming up on Thursday out in Arizona. Continue to pray for Sonny Branham. And Miss Judy was here for Sunday school. Clipper Tucker, still in the hospital recovering. Pray for him. Candy's mother, Miss Morena, remember her in prayer. And it won't be sometime, I think, in September when she'll be going down there to be with her mother in Panama. And then Tommy Wright, that's Melvin's nephew. You've gotten some of the emails and the texts concerning that situation down in Athens, Georgia. And so you continue to pray for his nephew, Tommy Wright, okay? And one other thing I'll mention. Brian, you just said you had I'll just go ahead and do it so you won't have to worry about it. Yeah. This coming, of course, tonight. Let me mention tonight, first of all. Let's go through this in order. This afternoon at 5:30, no choir practice today. So we'll be here at 5:30 for the evening service. We're going to have a commencement service for the Bible school kids. After that's over, we're going to have fellowship back here. And so is Inez in the nursery too? I don't see her. Back there. Does she need to meet with anybody? Okay, so all the ladies, especially anybody that wants to meet after the service, if you'll come right down here where Joaquin's at, and they'll meet with you about what to bring tonight, so on and so forth. And we'll just have a good time fellowship after the commencement. Yes, sir, Brother Melvin? Is that right? Okay. So for both of those nephews and both of them, certainly for their spiritual condition. Melvin's been very burdened about his family. I appreciate that with his brother and then the nephews. And I appreciate a man's got a burden for his family. You know, some people say something like this. Well, they won't listen to me. I'm family. I beg to differ. I think you've got a better chance at winning them than a stranger. I really do. Now, the logistics may be different in some families. But 9 times out of 10, and Brother Steve mentioned this morning about Daniel, about that character, about living that life. I was reading in Peter where it talks about if a woman is married to a man who's unsaved, that if she can't win him by the word of God, she can win him by her conversation or how she lives. Yes, ma'am, that's right. Claudette's done that. And my mother did that with my dad. And so, I mean, that doesn't mean that that's the way you should do it. It's harder that way, probably. But it happens. But you got to have a burden before you can do something like that. If you don't care, you don't care. And you know, if you don't care, they're going to know you don't care. Then they're not going to care either. And so, Brother Melvin, that's one thing about Brother Melvin I've always admired is that he's always had a burden for his family. I really appreciate that, Brother Melvin. And we'll sure remember both of your nephews, your brother as well, down there in the state of Georgia. Okay. So you know about this evening, 5:30, okay? Then Wednesday night, of course, we have our regular prayer meeting at 7 o'clock here at the church. I hope you can be here for that. The next Saturday is our next Sowing Saturday. So we're going to go out next Saturday and knock on doors and try to get folks to come to church and tell them about the Lord, hand out tracts. And so just remember that, all the men, next Saturday at 10 o'clock, we'll go out in the neighborhoods, knock on some doors, and let folks know about the Lord, certainly most of all, and about the church being here, okay? And then I'll mention this to you quickly, and that is the month of August, we're designating as Stewardship Month. I have some messages and some lessons on stewardship, and just to reiterate our not only the command, but our responsibility, Brother Steve, our duty. As Brother Murray preached at the Low Country Fellowship, it's our duty to be good stewards, not only to be good stewards to give it, but be good stewards to handle it. And so we're going to take the month of August as stewardship month. So just let you know about that, and we'll tell you more later on, okay? All right, come on, Brother Tim, let's have another song.
Judy, do we need to get a count for tonight at all, for after the fellowship? Okay, if because we've got a lot of visitors. Visitors, you're welcome,
yes,
as well.
Indeed.
So if you think you'll be at the fellowship tonight after the service, just raise your hand and we'll get a count.
Get a count real quick. I have an idea how many's going to be here. Everybody's welcome, too. You don't have to be just Bible school folks. Anybody in church is welcome.
All right, number 411. Sorry to take that time, but we need to do that. 411, let's stand and sing Look and Live. Look and Live, number 411. Sing out.
I've a message from the Lord, hallelujah, the message unto you I'll give. 'Tis recorded in His Word, hallelujah, it is only that you look and live. Look and live, my brother, live. Look to Jesus now and live. 'Tis recorded in His Word, hallelujah, it is only that you look and live. Life is offered unto you, hallelujah, eternal life thy soul shall have. If you'll only look to Him, hallelujah, look to Jesus who alone can save. Look and live, my brother. It is only that you look and live. I will love you how I came, hallelujah, to Jesus when He made me whole. 'Twas believing on His name, hallelujah, I trusted and He saved my soul. Look and live, my brother, live. Look to Jesus now and live. 'Tis recorded in His Word, hallelujah, it is only that you look and live.
Good singing. You can be
seated. Amen. Thank you. Come on, ushers. Let's have some ushers here. We need three. About one. Yeah, come on. One for each side, one for the train car. Make sure we collect all the tickets, the dough. All right, it's offering time, and you give us unto the Lord, of course. Let's hope that you do, and we appreciate the way you do practice good stewardship. So I hope that you'll give as unto the Lord. All right, Brother Rick Richardson, you pray for the offering, please.
Before Pastor comes this morning, we have the blessed trio coming to sing for us.
The more I trust Him, the more I love Him. Nothing good for me He'll deny. The longer I know Him, many saved me. His good grace he gave me. He placed his love down deep in my heart. There's great joy in knowing with him I am going. Never more from him to depart. Oh, it gets sweeter as the days go by. It gets sweeter as the moments fly. His love is richer, deeper, fuller, sweeter, 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 sweeter as the days go by.
Thank you, Trio. Thank you, Blessed Trio, for that. Well, get your Bibles ready. Listen now as the pastor comes.
Thank you, Brother Tim, and thank you, Trio, for that. And I'm glad every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. I'm so glad to have you in the service. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11, book of Hebrews, chapter number 11. Am I on, John? I think I am. All right. Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to read one verse, but we're going to use the text out of Genesis chapter 32. So find Hebrews 11. And then if you'll find the 32nd chapter of the book of Genesis, and after we read this verse in Hebrews, we're going to go to the book of Genesis for the verses with the text. Hebrews chapter 11, as you know, is the faith chapter, the hall of faith. It's got many different names to it. A lot of great Bible characters are named in Hebrews chapter 11 by faith. You've read this chapter, I know, many times. There are a lot. There's so many that in one place the writer says, you know, he gives the names but not the stories. There's just not enough time and room to write it all down. But as you go back to the scripture, you find that these folks were not just folks of faith, but they were regular people. Sometimes we get the impression because they're in the Bible that they're far above us. Well, that's just because they're mentioned in the scripture. Their story has been told. But if you'll look back, you'll know that there's not one person in this Bible except for Jesus who was perfect. There's none that were sinlessly perfect, none that were better. Now, they may have had a better testimony. That's true. And by the way, that happens in this life. There are some people in the Christian walk that have a better testimony than others. And it's not because they're better. It's just because they're making a better try at living for Jesus. And so that's what happens. And so Hebrews chapter 11, notice with me one verse, verse number 21. Hebrews chapter 11 and we'll go to verse 20 and 21. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Now you know the story. That's where we'll be going back in Genesis. Isaac and Jacob Jacob and Esau were brothers. And I'll get to the story later. But look at verse 21. By faith Jacob. Now, two brothers are mentioned in verse 20, but only one by faith. By faith, Jacob, it says, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph, by the way, as Manasseh and Ephraim, the Bible said, and worshiped leaning upon the top of his staff. Father, we love you today, and we thank you for the opportunity we have to preach your word. I pray, God, that it be a blessing to our hearts. Those that are unsaved will know that the only way to get to heaven is by trusting Christ. And then those of us that have trusted the Lord, young and old, need to learn to lean upon the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father, use the message this morning for your glory. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis chapter 32 now. It's page 47 if you need the page number in your Scofield Bible. And by the way, sir, good guys, I just had to glance up. See, are you the man that called this morning? Can you tell me your name? Victor? We're glad to have you, sir. You live in this area here?
No, I live.
Charlie, I saw the Concord, the 704 area code, just down here visiting. We're glad to have you. He called this morning, wanted to know what time the service was. We're so glad to have you, and thank you for being here with us today. All right, Genesis chapter 32. I want to preach a simple message on this thought, learning to lean. Sing a hymn in our hymn book that says, what a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms.
There's a song that I think maybe the Gaithers made popular, learning to lean on Jesus, finding more power than I've ever seen, learning to lean on Jesus. Well, I want to preach on that thought. The Bible said in Hebrews that Jacob, while he was a dying, I mean, this was at the end of his life, and yet he had the strength to stand up to bless his grandchildren. However, he had to lean on the staff that he had walked with all of those years. And of course, the staff in Scripture is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jacob learned to lean. Now, he wasn't always that way. As we read the 32nd chapter of Genesis, we find out, many of you know this already, but Jacob, his name, the name Jacob meant supplanter. He was a deceiver. He's a crook. Now, you say, wait a minute, preacher, you mean to tell me that God would honor a criminal? No, he has to save the criminal first. But by the way, at another point in his life, things change, and that's what we're going to be looking at. When you meet Jesus, when you have an experience with Christ, it'll change it. It'll make you different. You'll stop doing. Caleb, we were in here yesterday morning and talking about him getting saved. He said, I asked Jesus to come to my heart Wednesday night in my seat. Well, you know what? You get saved anywhere. You don't have to be at the altar. It's good to do it there. You can get saved anywhere. I got saved in the woods. I mean, you can get saved. If you want to get saved, God will save you. Well, here's what I asked him. I said, tell me about getting saved. What does that mean? And, of course, you know, he gave me a 10-year-old sort of answer. But he said, you know, I asked Jesus to come into my heart and to forgive me for fighting with my sister. Well, that's a good thing to ask for. Now, listen, I'm not totally off base here, off track, to know that may not happen occasionally. So I gave him a little doctrinal lesson on 1 John 1:9. You know, just so he'd know. But you know, here's what he told me. He said, I asked the Lord to help me to stop. He named some other things. I'm not going to get into all that. He said, and all of those things were things that with the help of God, he can do. And so what he's saying is I wanted the Lord to save me. And now, and he can. I mean, you can't expect, you know, he's a babe in Christ. He's a boy, a child. He's going to grow up. He's going to learn some things, and things are going to change. And, you know, we talked about that for a little while. I gave him a Bible and said, now you need to read this Bible every day. And so, anyway, the point is that what I was trying to tell him was as you grow up, you're going to have to learn to lean on Jesus right now because these are the ones who live in Florida or Charleston. Atlanta. Okay, the other ones live in Charleston, right. And I always get the places where they live kind of mixed up. But anyway, so they live down in Atlanta. Well, while they're there, and I told them, I said, now you need to learn how to obey your parents. And you need to practice being good and doing what's right and all those things he agreed with, you know, as a child would. And Jesus said, suffer the little ones to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God. But as he grows up, he's going to learn that things are not always going to be as easy as they were when they were 10. Can you say amen right there? I mean, when we were little, we thought, I can't wait to grow up. Now that we're grown up, we wish we could be little again. Amen. We didn't realize how good we had it. But anyway, the point is he's going to have to learn. And then Madison, his sister, got saved yesterday. Same thing. She's 8. Imagine what the Lord can do with that brother and sister duo, that combo, in that home, in that town. I'm telling you, the prospects are unlimited. Both of them, all of us, I don't care if you've been saved a day or 50 years. The one thing that we need to learn to do every day is lean on Jesus. As the Bible says in Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Lean not. That's a command. That's not a suggestion. That's not God saying, you know, I think it would work better if you just tried not to. He said, lean not to thine own understanding. So we're commanded to do that. The word lean or leaning in the Webster's dictionary means this. It, number one, it means to be inclined in a particular direction or opinion. So what's your leaning? Which way do you lean? Politically, socially, financially, whatever. And by the way, Webster uses John 13:23 and mentions, now this is in the Webster Dictionary, at the Last Supper, that John leaned upon the bosom of Jesus. I mean, he knew where to lean, didn't he? He sure did. He didn't get all mixed up in all the conversation. He just put his head over on the bosom of Jesus. He knew that things were coming to a close, and he just wanted to get as close to the Lord as he could. Then another definition, to rest against something for support. Ever just got tired, just had to lean up against something, you know? Well, number one, you're tired, you want to lean, but number two, you better make sure it'll hold you up. We were out there at the little slide yesterday, and Miss Susan wanted to do something with some water, and got the little thing, and so the slide they were in, if you pushed down, the water would come out. They need a little water. So I told Brother Steve, I said, Steve, let's push down this thing here, and we'll get a little bit of water, and there's a little pool for them to put something in. I think it was for the little ones to kind of sit in. Well, I pushed down, Steve really pushed down. And when he did, I was already bent over, and when he did, of course, I'm not a skinny little feller, and all of my weight went down. That water was literally running on my feet. I mean, just soaking my feet, and I couldn't get up. I couldn't stand. I had two choices. I could either stay there till Jesus comes or fall over in the water, and I didn't want to do that because I didn't want to be one of them videos. And I don't even know. I said, somebody's going to have to help me up. I don't know who it was. Was it you, brother? Somebody grabbed a hold of my belt loops and pulled me up. I didn't know who it was, so thank you, brother. I appreciate that. But you know what? I learned next time if someone says, I'm going to let Steve and somebody else do it. Amen. Because some things are not good. An inflatable pool is not something good to lean on. Okay? So you got to have something for support. And then the third definition is to rely or depend on something or someone. And of course, that's Proverbs 3:5. And so leaning is important in the text. Now look at chapter 32. Jacob finds himself at the you've heard of Jacob's ladder. And this is the story, this is the account of it. And I'm not going to read the entire chapter for time's sake. But in the 32nd chapter of Genesis, we see that Jacob, in fact, did not always lean on God. His name, Jacob, meant supplanter. And that's because even though he and Esau were twins, and Esau was the older of the two, yet God's promise was to Jacob, but just like Grandpa Abraham, he did not wait for God to do it. And so what did he do? One day Esau comes home and he's starving to death. He's been on a hunt and hadn't got anything, been out for a while. He's starving to death. Well, Jacob's made up some beans, some pottage, the Bible calls it. Boy, it just got Esau's attention. And Esau, being the oldest, was the one who would receive the birthright. He would receive the bulk of the inheritance and the blessing from Isaac when Isaac died. Well, Jacob knew that, and so did his mother, by the way. Mom was somewhere in the periphery. So he offers Esau this pottage, these beans. And man, he's so hungry, he can't hardly, if you've ever heard somebody say, I'd give anything if I had something or other. You know, that's a figure of speech. Esau meant it because Jacob said, I'll give you a bowl of beans for your birthright. And Esau said, okay. And gave it up. And it wasn't a rhetorical question. Esau said, okay, and God said, that's okay. You just gave it up. Jacob knew it. Later on, Esau discovered it. When he did finally, as Isaac was dying, Jacob receives the blessing. He tricked Esau. And that was his bowl. He was a trickster. He was a conniver. He was a supplanter. And so when it came time for the blessing to be given out, what happens? Mom again gets Jacob aside and said, now, you know, daddy's dying and he's going to give Esau the blessing. And so we got to get this thing down. And so here's what we're going to do. You know, your daddy's eyesight is gone. And so he can't see, but he can feel and he can hear. And so here's what we're going to do. He said, go out and get me a goat. Because Jacob said, I can't pull this off, Mom. He said, Esau's a hunter. He smells like the outdoors and he's a hairy man. Jacob's very fair and ruddy. And so his mom says, go get me a goat. And so they go out and shear a goat. And she, however, I don't know if they use super glue or gorilla tape, I don't know. But somehow they put that goat's hair on Jacob's arms. And so Jacob goes in because Isaac loved venison. It was his favorite meat. And there was a certain way that Esau made it. And they knew that if they weren't careful, Dad would recognize who it was by the meal. But Mom knew how to fix it. You know, Mom knows how to fix everything. And so she says, you go get me the deer. He said, get me some. She skinned that goat and then cooked that goat and somehow made it taste like deer meat. I don't know how in the world she done that, but she did. And he carried it in to Isaac and gave it to him, and he loved it. He enjoyed it so good. Now he's ready to give the blessing, and he hears Jacob speak and said, that doesn't sound like Esau. And so what does Jacob do? He quickly sticks both arms out there and says, you know, touch me. And Dad starts rubbing. Oh, it must be Esau. He's hairy because he's blind. And so he gives Jacob the actual birthright. And now there's nothing that Esau can do. In a previous chapter after this happens, Esau vows to kill Jacob. So now Jacob's on the run, and that's where we find ourselves at this point. So he's a supplanter. He's a deceiver. 20 years later is when he and Esau meet up again. Esau, when he remembers what he said, he's going to kill Jacob. Well, they meet up, and he does a lot of things to kind of get this thing smoothed over so Esau won't get him because he thinks he's going to kill him. But what Jacob does, look at verse 9 in chapter 32. Go to chapter 27 for a moment, then we're going to look in 32. Chapter 27, I want to give you this part of the story, and then we'll move to 32nd chapter. Chapter 27, and this tells the story of the plot. You know, first of all, what he does, when he hears about Esau coming, first thing he does is the right thing to do. You know what he did? He prayed. Now, the problem is, we're all guilty of praying when we're in trouble, when something bad is going to happen, or we think something bad might happen. So we start to pray. Well, then, when the prayer is over, then he falls back to his old nature, his character, which is the plot. And if you read verse 9, and I mentioned this to you a moment ago, where his mother said, go now to the flock, fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. So he goes from praying to plotting. Folks, if you really want God's help, prayer is a great way to get it. In fact, I recommend it highly. But once you're done praying, then don't say, okay, Lord, I want you to have your will in my life. Amen. And then go do it your own way. That's what got Abraham in trouble. That's what gets a lot of folks in trouble. When by the way, Saul wanted David to fight Goliath in his armor, and he said no. He was the one person who said, I can't fight God's battles with your armor. You're never going to be able to fight the battles that you face without God's intervention. But don't ask him to help, and then before he does, say, I got this, because now you've just nullified your prayer. God says, go ahead. And you know what's going to happen. When you do it your way, guess what's always, always going to happen? You're going to be praying again later more fervently because you got more trouble than you had when you started. Always happens that way. Now go to chapter 32, and I want to give you these thoughts real quickly. But let's see what God does to Jacob in the 32nd chapter to teach him to lean on Jesus. Notice, if you would, go to chapter 32 and verse number 24. Look at verse 24 of chapter 32. And Jacob was left alone. Jacob was left alone. What does God do or use to teach us, as he did Jacob, to lean on him? He uses solitude. Now, as human beings, we don't like to be alone. Now, there are some people who don't mind being alone, in the day, you know, certain times, but nobody really likes to be just alone. I mean, I'm telling you, nobody likes to be alone. We want to have friends and family and somebody that we can interact with and fellowship with. Well, here's Jacob, who has prayed for God's help, and then he decided to do it his own way. And now God says, okay, now we're going to do it my way. Now, it could have been way different had he prayed for God's help and then let him help. Instead, he interjected himself. He leaned on his own understanding. When that happened, God let him do it. And boy, he got the fix, and now God said, now it's my turn. Now, I'm going to do it. Now, he did not say to Jacob, this would have been different if you'd have let me do it in the first place. But I promise you, in the mind of God, he was thinking, Jacob, 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 if you'd have just let me answer and do what I was going to do, you wouldn't be in this play. So now he finds himself alone. Sometimes, not always. I know in my own life it's true. I can only speak for myself. There are times when things happen in my life as a Christian that when I think I can sort of handle it, and you know, when you've been pastoring a long time, certain things happen that are basically the same. They have different, logistics, but troubles are the same. And you think, well, here's what I did it for, and I'll do it that way again. And you say, now, Lord, I want you to help me, but I'll let you know when I need you. It's the wrong thing to say. Because all of a sudden, you're doing this by yourself, and you're just making a mess out of it. And the more you do, the bigger mess you make. And now you're trying to clean up a bigger mess, and then you make a bigger mess, and the whole time, God is sitting upon His throne with His arms crossed, saying, well, He'll figure this out, that He's not going anywhere, and then I'm going to step in. Sometimes, we need to be pushed to the place. Pushed to the place where we recognize there's only one person who can help us, and that's God. But don't wait until God has to force you into something or bring about circumstances that just make you, because not only do you regret it at the time, but down the road you'll say to yourself, I wish I had done different. Oh, if I could only do it over again. But folks, once it's done, it's done. It's said, it's said. It can never be undone or unsaid. And so God sometimes puts us in a place of solitude, alone. Don't like to be there. And by the way, when you come to the place where you recognize I'm by myself in this thing, that's when God sort of, remember me? Remember when all this first started, Jacob, and you prayed and asked for my help? You remember that, don't you? Well, I just want you to know I never left. I've been right here. Oh, Jacob, you could have missed out on a lot of trouble if you'd have just listened to me in the first place. Folks, that's really the issue here. That's the lesson that God uses to teach us to lean on Jesus sometimes by just letting us be alone. Because when you're alone, who do you lean on? Who's there? Nobody. There are so many people in society that go through their life and they get some age on them, or maybe down to the point of dying at the last, and they look around and nobody's there. No wife, no husband, no children, no family. They've died alone. There's a Potter Cemetery in Columbia, right out here off of Killian Road or Clemson Road. I've been there twice to bury people. I've been there twice. I've buried two men out there that when they died had no family, no one to claim the body. No one came to the funeral. It was me and the funeral man and the dead person. And we buried them in that potter's field because they didn't have anybody that cared about them. Not even enough to bury them. Sad. God doesn't want you to get to that place. Oh no. As a Christian, I'm never going to be totally alone because Jesus said, lo, I'm with you always. You know, when you're leaning on your own understanding, you don't even notice where He's at. That's when we start thinking, God left me. No, God didn't leave. He's not paying no attention. You're too busy paying attention to self. But He's always been right there. So Jacob, we find, was left alone. Look at verse 25 real quickly. Verse 25, the Bible says, and when he saw that he prevailed not against him. Now this is when the Lord Himself comes down out of heaven and is wrestling with Jacob. I mean they're wrestling together. I mean, and the Bible says, and when he, talking about Jacob or the angel of the Lord, saw that he prevailed not against him. I'm telling you now, I don't want you to misunderstand here. This angelic being, this Christophany, could have certainly handled Jacob without touching him. Oh, he could have. But what he's really doing is emphasizing the fact that Jacob, now that he knows he's alone and needs God's help, he's not going to quit until God helps him. You get to the place where you say to yourself, I'm going to do it no matter what, because I want God's blessing on my life. That's like the song, Brother Steve, you're talking about, Dare to be Daniel. That's when you hold up the banner. That's when you say, I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what the government says. I don't care. This is God's word, and I'm going to do it, because if I don't, I'll be all alone. The Bible said when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint. He actually knocked the leg bone out of joint. Now, buddy, I don't know about you. I don't think that felt good. Now, it doesn't say that Jacob yelled out, but I expect he did. I expect he did. I mean, he didn't just push him away. I mean, he knocked the leg bone out of the hip joint. Ow! The Bible says when he did that, as he wrestled with him, and he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. He said, I will. Now, his leg is out of joint. He's not gone to the emergency room. He hadn't gone to urgent care. He's not in a cast. This is all happening at the moment. And he still won't. He said, well, bless God, you might have broke my leg, but I'm going to hold on with my arms. And he held on. And you know what God was wanting to know? Jacob, how sincere are you? Do you really want to change? Is this real? Now, God, of course, knew in His providence and His foreknowledge. But he's just testing old Jacob. And Jacob held on. He said, I'm not going to let you go except thou. Did he say daddy? Uh-uh. Did he ask for Esau's blessing? Uh-uh. Did he ask for the other tribes or the other family members? Not tribes, he's the daddy of the tribe. The other family members? No. He said, I'm not going to let go except you bless me. Knew now where his blessings were coming from. Folks, when we grab the truth that everything we have comes from God and everything you'll ever need will come from God, don't lean upon your own. Now, sure, God gives us some ability and some smarts to be able to do certain things. But hey, we all come to a place where we really need God's help. And so here, not only does God use solitude, but he uses subjection. That's an ugly word in America. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. I got news for you, friend. You can swear there is no God, but you're going to do what he wants you to do because he's God. Old Jacob found out what that means. Sometimes subjection can be painful. I didn't even write down who said this. I found this in my research. God's breaking is God's making. Sometimes God has to break you to make you. Sometimes he has to mold you to make you. And sometimes he'll have to take those old potsherds, those old broken pottery, that old broken pottery, and start over again. Aren't you glad God will do that? Yeah. Hey, God crippled Jacob to force him to realize that he was helpless without God. By the way, this is not the only time God did that. You remember Paul, don't you? Three times Paul said, deliver me from this thorn in the flesh. And God said in Corinthians, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. That's how God operates sometimes. Sometimes he puts you on the mountaintop. Sometimes he puts you on a hospital bed just to get your attention. Just to get your attention. So God uses solitude. He uses subjection. Number three, look at verse 26. He uses struggle. Oh, preacher, you know, I'm glad God saved, but boy, it sure has been a struggle. Can I ask you a question? How many days really do you have in a year when it's not a bit of a struggle? You know why? I mean, number one, you're struggling flesh against spirit. Number two, you're struggling some people struggle just to survive, to live. But notice what it says in verse 26. He said, let me go. The day breaketh. He said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Look at verse 30. He said, and Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Buddy, that's where we want to be, folks. Hey, listen to me for just a minute. I'm almost through. I'm telling you, where we need to be is where we can look at God and say, God, you did it. This is all about you. It's not about me anymore. You did this. You took care of it. You feed me. You clothe me. You give me what I have. And I'm never going to take control of that ever again. Now, human beings are tempted every day to take control. That's why the Bible says we're to crucify our members. Mortify the deeds of the body. God knows that's a struggle. I'm saying that God sometimes uses struggle. God will often protect us. He promised he would. But that doesn't mean he's always going to pamper us. But the way some Christians act like little babies sometimes, they need pampers. Say amen right there. Not pampering, but pampers. Yeah, they need to be diapered. Yeah. But God, hey, God, Jacob kept holding on. Man, I mean, God broke his leg. Pulled it out of joint. Now he's wrestling with one good leg and two good arms, hurting like the dickens, but he kept on hanging on. Sometimes you're going to be hurting in life and hurting in your spirit and hurting in your soul. That's human life itself. But keep holding on to God. Or let me say it better this way. You don't keep holding on. You just get your hand out there where he can hold on to you. Then look at verse 27. I'm almost through. He uses solitude to teach us to lean on him. He uses subjection and struggle. Verse 27, he uses searching. Searching. Look at verse 27. And he said to him, what is thy name? He said, Jacob. Of course he knew it was. And he said, thy name. Now that he's got Jacob's attention, now that Jacob has said, I'm not turning loose. God knew he was sincere. And God starts to change Jacob. You know what the Bible says when you get saved? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. They're dead and buried. And behold, all things are become new. Here's a perfect example of that New Testament truth. Jacob, the supplanter, the conniver, the deceiver, the crook. I am not a crook. You young folk don't have a clue what I just did, but study President Nixon's era back then. And some of you know what I'm talking about. But the Bible says, he said, thy name shall no more be called Jacob. God said, we're going to redo this thing, son. We're going to make it different now. He said, from now on, he said, but Israel, for as a prince, thou hast power with God and with men and hast prevailed. God changed him from a crook and a conniver to a prince. How about that? You know what happens to you when you get saved? The Bible said you become an heir of God and a joint heir of Jesus Christ. That means you're in the family of God. You're on the same level in the eyes of God eternally as Jesus is. But even a prince, listen, even a prince still has to answer to the sovereign. God didn't make him a king. He made him a prince. You know why? Because God's the king. Satan tried to do that and God kicked him out. There are people all over the world that want to replace God with this, that, and the other, and they're going to find out it didn't work. Because ultimately, the Bible said, every one of us shall give an account of himself before God. He's the King of kings, and the Lord of lords. I'm happy just to be a prince. I'd rather be a prince than a joker. Say amen right there. The angel changed his name. God wants us to tell the truth about ourselves. He said, what's your name? He said, my name's Jacob. Well, he was honest with it. He figured, hey, I've got God by the shirt tail, by the arm. I guess I better be honest. He knocked my leg out of joint. I guess I ought to be honest with the man. You know what'll happen? You know why Caleb and Madison got saved? Because they were honest. You know, if you got saved, you know when you got saved? When you were honest with yourself and said, I'm a sinner. You can be whatever you want, but I'm a sinner. That's the only way you're going to get to heaven, by being honest. He said, my name's Jacob. He said, not anymore. He said, now it's Israel. He said, God wants us to tell the truth. Changes his name. Now, in some translations of the name Israel, it could mean God commands. And basically, what it means is that now God is in control of your life. When you get to that place where God has to put you by yourself and put you in a place where you're hurting, where you're struggling, all God wants is for you to be honest with him. Say, Lord, I can't do this by myself. I'm a nobody without God. Paul said, I am what I am, the grace of God. And so he knew what it was to search. Let me give you the last one and I'm through. Verse 21. Go back to verse 21 because God sometimes uses stumbling. What is a cane or a walking stick? Miss Ramona uses one. My mother uses one on occasion. Sometimes you have to use one if you've had an injury or something. What's the purpose of a cane or a walker? I have a walking stick that a member made me years ago. I don't use it very much because it looks more like Moses' staff. And I don't want to walk around my neighborhood look like Moses. So I have it, though. It's hanging in my garage. And I appreciate it. But what's that for? It's to help keep your balance, to keep you on your feet. What happens if you don't? Stumble. You know, I've heard many folks, some of you, when you were going through, you'd say, boy, I always have to be near a wall or a cabinet. Because I get, maybe it's vertigo, or for some reason, I lose my balance. And you hear about some elderly person falling. 9 times out of 10, of course it's accidental, they don't do it on purpose, but a lot of times it's because they get up and they feel pretty good. And so they get up to go to the restroom or go to the kitchen, and about halfway there they realize they're not as good as they think they are. Did you hear me? They come to the realization, I'm not as good as I thought I was, and before they can do anything about it, bam, they're in the floor. It's the same thing with a Christian now. I'm physically on my feet and doing pretty good, but spiritually, a lot of times I get up, boy, I'll have my Bible time and pray in the morning, and I'll go out and say, whoo, I got it by the tail, buddy. And bam, something happened, I just fell. And I come to the realization, well, I had the wrong attitude when I left this morning. I thought I had it. God has it. God has it. Sometimes, look at verse 21, what it says. I'm done. So went the present over before him. Oops, yeah, that's right. And lodged that night. Now, that's not the verse I wanted. No, I wanted 31. I'm sorry. I said 21. I'm sorry. Verse 31. And as he passed over Penuel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his side. It means he limped. That day forward, you could always tell that Jacob had been with the Lord. He said, well, I thought it would be a pleasant smile and an angelic choir. No, no. Everybody knew he'd been with God because he had a limp. And everywhere. And you know what he said? Hey, this thing is a little more than I anticipated. And so you know what he said? He said, boy, somebody make me a stick. Somebody make me a staff. You've been with the Lord. You may have something in your life that will always remind you why you had to be with the Lord. Some, it may not be a limp physically. It could be some emotional thing or a financial thing. Something that will always remind you that God had to deal with me. But in doing that, then he says, now, lean on me. Now! Some of these ladies, when especially Miss Martha or someone, because they're not real nimble on their feet at this point in their life, when they come to this steps or something, I'll put my arm out. I'll try to, you know what I'm doing? I'm saying, lean on me. And you know what I always tell them? I say, I got you. Tell you, I'd fall on the floor under them to keep them from getting hurt. I got you. Don't worry. I'm not going to. Now, of course, anything could happen that maybe I couldn't because I'm not perfect. But anytime God reaches out and says to you, I got you, you don't ever have to worry about falling down. There's not one thing that can happen in your life that God's like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know that was going to happen. No. He says, I got you. I got you. What a fellowship. What a joy divine. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Hallelujah. Boy, I'm glad I've got a God to lean on, aren't you? Well, if you don't have a God to lean on, then you need a God to lean on. That's right. Jacob's stumbling was to remind him that to lean on God every day. But his staff was his reminder that he couldn't walk without God. Remember, folks, you can't do it without the Lord. Heavenly Father, we love you today and thank you for the simple message. Thank you for the folks being so faithful to be here. And with, even though the auditorium looks different, I hope there was no distraction to the message. God, I'm so grateful that I have you to lean upon. So many times, and I'm guilty, I confess, there are many times in my life, even though I've been saved a long time, you'd think after being saved a long time and things happening like they do in my life, that I'd learn. Well,
still flesh, and that battle rages every day. And sometimes when I'm not where I need to be with God, I give into that flesh and I try to handle it my own way. And I find out what a mess I made of it. Lord, if there's somebody here without Jesus Christ, they need to come and trust Him as their personal Savior. They don't have anything to lean on. Because the Bible said, lean not unto thine own understanding. It's not supportive. Leaning on yourself will always collapse. You'll fall down. But leaning on Jesus will always be there. He'll be solid and supportive. So Lord, I pray that one that may be lost without Christ does not know they're going to heaven when they die. They'll come to this old-fashioned altar and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. And I need somebody to lean on that'll always be there for me. And I want to trust you as my personal Savior. Others may just find themselves as Christians like myself, stumbling sometime falling because we've tried to fix it our own way and not use the Scripture. So Lord, if there's someone here that just has an issue, a problem, a trial, a trouble, help them to come to this altar and say, Lord, here it is. Here it is. And I want to give it to you because I want to lean on you totally. Whatever the need is, whatever folks need to do today, may they come and do business with God. Thank you for our visitors. So kind of them to take time out of their day to come and be with us. Have your way this invitation. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Brother